and you're listening to KBOO 94.7 FM. Stay tuned for an Islamic point of view coming right up.
Roasting 200 years of corporate constitutional rights, 1819 to 2019, notes the anniversary of the first U.S. Supreme Court decision granting constitutional rights to business corporations. The event features a photography exhibit, trivia, conversation, and presentations about how we can reclaim people's constitutional rights and dismantle corporate rights. Again, that's Roasting 200 Years of Corporate Constitutional Rights on Thursday, February 28th, from 6 to 9 p.m. This is a drop-in event happening at the Just Bob Cafe, 2403 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good day. My name is Micah Murphy, and I'm president of the Uhuru Sasa African American Culture Club at the Oregon State Penitentiary. In Swahili, Uhuru Sasa means freedom now. Our club was established in 1968, and our mission statement reads in part, to develop our members culturally, vocationally, and educationally. We do this by getting our members to understand politics, economics, and social consequences. Some of the programs we offer to the men of our USELF class, which stands for Understanding Self, equals Life's Foundation. We get the men to focus on who they were before prison, who they are now, but most important, who they want to be when they get out. We have a mentorship class, which focuses on becoming better men and fathers to our families, leaders and mentors for our communities, by instilling principles of trustworthiness, reliability, and loyalty. With these classes, we would love for community volunteers and mentors to come in and participate with the adults in custody, seeing that we are not all monsters. We're still someone's son, brother, and father, trying to right the wrongs of our past. I would like to thank K-Boo, J.J. Johnson, Reggae Bob, and Brother Shahid, for being longtime supporters of our club. I also want to welcome new supporters. If you're interested in coming to the Oregon State Penitentiary and being a volunteer or supporter of our club, maybe attending one of our cultural events, you can contact us one of two ways, by phone or email at 503-378-2289, and you can ask to speak to our staff advisor, Patrice Lance, or you can email at patrice.s.lance@doc.state.or.us. Thank you for your time.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful, benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, that is peace be unto you. Today we have a special broadcast, and we want to address incarceration and Islam. My guest today will be head chaplain of the Oregon Islamic OICO, Oregon Islamic Chaplains Organization, excuse me, and he'll be with us, and we're going to have a short discussion in just a moment. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Derek.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
First, let me begin by saying it's great to have you here, and we should do this more often, and inshallah, we'll hopefully have an opportunity to do this more often.
Inshallah.
Kind of check in and see how things are going, and just seeing where you are now. Maybe let's begin by telling our audience something about the OICO and your job and what you do.
Absolutely. Alhamdulillah. Again, assalamu alaikum to the radio audience out there and to all of my dear beloved brothers that are incarcerated and throughout the state of Oregon and Washington. The Oregon Islamic Chaplain Organization is an organization that was founded about 17 years ago by Dr. Muhammad Rauf, who was a deputy sheriff in Multnomah County. And he came to the community, member of the Muslim Community Center, and he put together the organization, the Oregon Islamic Chaplain Organization, which is now currently headed by Imam Mikhail Shabazz. You had said earlier that it was me, but Imam Mikhail Shabazz is actually the head of the organization, and I'm right up under him. Mm-hmm. He's the president, I'm the vice president. Mm-hmm. My job is the field director for the organization, which involves, you know, getting recruits into the organization and also taking care of the needs of those of them that are out in the community in the various prisons throughout the state of Oregon and Washington. So we have two organizations. We have the Oregon Islamic Chaplain Organization. We also have the Washington Islamic Chaplain Organization. Mm-hmm. I'm also the lead chaplain for the state of Washington over all of the institutions in the state of Washington, the state institution in the state of Washington for the Islamic services. And I'm the regional chaplain for Multnomah County, Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington County. I am the regional chaplain for the Department of Corrections here in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. pardon me. So what kind of activities are you involved with now with the believers in? Perhaps you can also let us know the institutions that you currently serve. I know you mentioned about Washington and Oregon, but can you get a little more specific in terms of the institutions that you are in charge of, or that you service?
So on the Oregon side, that I primarily go into Eastern Oregon, Pendleton, and Two Rivers, and Hermiston. I go also into Columbia River. You know, those are my three main prisons I go to on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know, here in Oregon. But mm-hmm. however, I go to all of the prisons as time permits me to do mm-hmm. on the Oregon side, all the way from Snake River, all the way back to, again, Columbia River. Even the women's prison, you know, that I'm also very, very actively involved also in the women's prison and going and see the sisters in the women's prison. We have one women's prison here in Wilsonville. Mm-hmm. And again, I go there on a periodic basis with my dear sister Layla Alameen to also service the Muslim women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is that the Coffee Creek Institution?
Coffee Creek, absolutely,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Sir.
JJ knows something about that. I'll give him a plug there.
Right.
The activities primarily are consist of the Juma or prayer and study.
Yes. So
and the most important question I just want to get real quick is, what kind of cooperation are you getting from the authorities in terms of the authorities of the institution?
Well, yes, our primary role and mission, as you mentioned, is to go into the institutions to provide Juma services, Talim classes, to teach the new converts and those who have been Muslim for a while mm-hmm. just to have a better understanding of the religion and the proper practice of the religion. Mm-hmm. And so our primary role, again, is to, again, make sure they have Friday Juma services as well as being taught the religion through Talim and through different classes, so forth and so on. We do marriages, you know, we do counseling, we do janazah services, mm-hmm. whatever that we can do to help the Muslims inside of the institution, that we try to help to facilitate that. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the administration is concerned, and when we started off, we had some struggles in trying to get the administration to, again, support us on our Islamic side of things. But over the years, it's gotten much better, much better. Again, like I said, I'm the regional chaplain, you know, over the state of Oregon, that I work full-time for the state of Oregon, you know, and it's got much, much better through our education, working with administration, so forth and so on. And as I mentioned, I'm the lead chaplain for the state of Washington that oversees all 13 prisons on the Washington side as well, as far as it relates to the Islamic services. And have the authority, again, to hire contractors and so forth and so on the Washington side, which I'm looking for about six people that I can hire right now that we pay from anywhere from $20 to $25 an hour for brothers who's interested in coming and doing some work inside of the Washington Department of Correction, that we need brothers there mm-hmm. and sisters as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do have an employment opportunity, particularly on the Washington side.
So how would they get in touch with you if they want to take advantage of this opportunity?
They can contact me at 503-890-1510. 503-890-1510. Mm-hmm. That's my direct cell phone line where I can be reached at any time, or leave a message if you don't get me directly.
I hope your cell phone works better than mine.
I got one of the dumb phones too, like everybody else.
Oh, it's smart. Huh?
It's not smart. Mine is dumb. It does what it want to do.
You mentioned marriage earlier, and that's just something that I've been getting more and more involved with in terms of trying to facilitate. And just my efforts, my meager efforts that occasionally when I go down to OSP and talk with the brothers and so forth and get a few minutes to speak. Is that a difficult process?
It's not really a difficult process once it's been approved for the marriage to take place for the individuals and for us Islamically that it meet all of the Islamic requirements, that it's not a very difficult task to do. Mm-hmm. The only struggle that I have is that, again, the state recognizing Islamic marriage in the sense that we don't have to necessarily register our marriage with the state, that we can do it without doing that, is getting the state to, again, recognize an Islamic marriage. As long as you have two witnesses and an officiator and you have a document saying this, that this is basically a legal thing. But again, they require you to be registered through the state and so forth and so on. That's the only difficult about it. But the main thing is doing what it is that I did, Lord, want us to do, and becoming lawful in your relationship with a woman as well as with a man that it meet all of the Islamic requirements and standards.
Can they take the children in with them to witness the ceremonies, or is it primarily just the officiators and...
No, you are allowed to invite guests. You are allowed to invite guests and family members to the wedding ceremonies on the state of Oregon and the state of Washington side.
Okay. Upon release, what kind of opportunities are available to the believers, to the brothers, and what kind of effort do you make to get them hooked up with various services and so forth? Because I know that that's a significant problem upon release. I know you. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So again, as I mentioned, that my role as one of the chaplains is also as the regional chaplain that deals with reentry and transition, people transitioning out of prison back into the community. And I don't just do that for Muslims. I do that for the whole state. Mm-hmm. And so anyone who want to get into our program, which is called Home for Good, it's an application that you have to apply to obtain resources and a mentor before you come out of prison, and that person will work with you 1 year to 6 months before you get released out of prison to help your transition become a very, very smooth transition. And that person get a chance to review your application and what your needs are specific. And that person as your mentor can actually work to facilitate your needs before you get released. Things such as housing, which is the main thing, also work, which is the main thing, then also other resources, clothing, medical stuff, driver's license, whatever your needs are to make you have a successful transition is a part of what this program helps to advocate for people getting released back into the community. Now, us Islamically, we have our own transitional house, just like the Christians have many transitional houses and different things like that. Mm-hmm. The county have transitional house. But Islamically, we have our own transitional house called the Fulway House to help Muslims that have come out to transition into a Muslim environment.
Right. And I know our buddy man, Mikhail, is very, very behind that effort to establish a Fulway House and the services that goes along with it.
Absolutely.
I know you travel a lot across the country, and in tune to what a lot of this program nationally are doing. Have you seen any programs that you're kind of excited about, or any programs that you're enthusiastic about?
Yeah, they do have some national programs that are very, very intriguing, which like MANA with Imam Sirwaj Wahaj, you know, it's across the country. You know, we're also a member, you know, with MANA, which is headed out of New York. Mm-hmm. And they do, again, particular functions and so forth across the country. Mm-hmm. You know, they do on a regular basis. And that we have also the Islamic Online University program, which is headed by Bilal Phillips. I'm also one of the board members of that particular university to help to facilitate, again, Islamic knowledge and understanding, which is an institution where they can take a correspondence course and receive a certificate, a diploma, or degree associate's degree, bachelor's degree, even a master's degree from this university. And this course is a free course that's provided to particularly Muslims, but anybody who want to take the course while they are incarcerated, mm-hmm. and has been approved and authorized in the state of Oregon and Washington.
Mm-hmm. You know, we always talk about Islam being the fastest growing religion these days, and how is the participation at the various institutions in which you serve?
Oh my goodness, alhamdulillah, brother. But again, it
says, why you need some more help.
yeah. Again, it's Islam is the religion of truth and understanding, and it's what Allah mm-hmm. has prescribed for us. And when you have proper teachings, particularly in the institutions, that when you teach about Islam, a lot of people are oblivious to the truth about Islam. Mm-hmm. And then when you come and tell someone the truth about Islam, they are intrigued about the truth and also about the understanding about this beloved religion. Mm-hmm. And we have people that are embracing the religion of Islam and institutions more than any other endeavor. And this is also where the growth of Islam is taking place in this country, is out of the institutions. Mm-hmm. This is where people are embracing the religion more than anything else, is inside of the institutions, because they have people coming in teaching them and explaining to them about Islam, and people are embracing it, and it grows, brother, believe me. Mm-hmm. And one of the institutions that I serve, we have 140 people in Juba.
Oh, wow.
140 inmates in Juba, you know, this is on the Washington side. And so we have a whole array of Muslims who attend, and OSP, they have a large group of Muslims who attend throughout the state, you know, and all mm-hmm. the institutions for the most part, that we have large contingencies of Muslims that are affiliated with coming to the services, mm-hmm. and non-Muslims as well. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What kind of cooperation do you get from members of other religions in terms of pastors, ministers? Do y'all find yourself working together? I know we were talking about the gentleman who was up at Emmanuel. What's his name? Up in Emmanuel. In Emmanuel Church.
Oh, Rob Richardson. Rob Richardson.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, again, that we do a lot of interfaith dialoguing with other faith traditions and so forth and so on.
Yes.
We're not enemies of other people of faith, that we try to get along with other people mm-hmm. of faith. Mm-hmm. And respectfully, we have a lot of other people of faith that also come and help and support us. For instance, that some of the time, if you don't have a sponsor, Islamic sponsor, to facilitate a class, that we have Christians that have stepped up to facilitate one of our classes so the class can go on.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, we really, really have a lot of support, you know, with other faith tradition, other people of faith, again, and assisting us. And I do the same thing with them. Whatever I can do to help other people of faith, it's my pleasure to help them to do whatever need to be done in any way that they can, any way
mm-hmm.
that we can.
Mm-hmm. Because the aim is to help the individual.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For the sake of God.
For the sake of God. Inshallah. Right. One question I wanted to ask you about, something you do every year, and it's grown to be really an established event, and I believe a lot of people look forward to it, and that's the Day of
Dignity.
Day of Dignity.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what that's about.
Well, the Day of Dignity is, again, one of my most favorite time of the year because of the group of people that we help and support. That our organization, the Oregon Islamic Chaplain Organization, that we started that program here in Portland, and it was called, at that particular time, Humanitarian Day. Mm-hmm. And our dear beloved sister, Layla Assam, that she was the director of that program back at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we started, again, feeding the homeless. This is a program that we start with maybe a $10,000 budget, and we take all of that money and we spend it all on helping and supporting, again, the homeless people in our particular area down in Portland. So we pick a park or something down in Portland and we triage, and we set up all type of support and all type of groups that will come and help support us take care of the homeless people. We give them fresh hot food, clothing, supplies, hygiene kits, toothpaste, toothbrushes, combs, socks, hats, gloves, raincoats, whatever that we can give them to help them, again, you know, while they're out on the streets. Mm-hmm. Now, Islamic Social Service, our dear sister Layla Hadju, that she's the director of the program now. Mm-hmm. But again, I assist her, you know, along every time that we have the program. that she's the head now, and I'm right up under her and making sure that that program takes place again every year. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, which is in September, sometime after the blessed month of Ramadan, that we feed the homeless and take care of the homeless people. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So this year would be?
In September again. Yep. Okay. And we'll be downtown in the Park of the Elephant, which is where we've been for the last 4 years, is in the Park of the Elephant that we do this event in September.
Okay. Let me see, this is the downside of writing notes to yourself, brother. how long you got chance to, what kind of changes have you seen over the years that you're most proud of?
Inside of the institution as well. Uh-huh. Well, again, over the years, you know, a couple of the main things is consistent Jumu'ah services taking place inside of the institutions. That again, that this is the constitutional right for people to be able to practice their religion. The administration, which is mostly a Judeo-Christian administration, that don't mm-hmm. really understand, you know, what normally happens with Islam. But again, since we've had people such as yourself, myself, Imam Shabazz, and some of the others who have stepped up over the years to support, you know, the prison mm-hmm. population, that it has gotten much better with their understanding of what the needs are, particularly for the Muslim, like Jumu'ah service, like making sure they have the month of Ramadan, they have their meals, they're having lamb provided from the state, halal lamb and halal meals, and these type of things provided, prayer rugs, you know, talim classes. Just a whole array of people being able to actually practice mm-hmm. the religion of Islam uninhibited inside the institution. Mm-hmm. So this is what I've seen over the years due to the participation of people, again, such as yourself and other people coming in to actually do the work and give a more broader understanding, you know, inside the institution.
Okay. One of the things that I want to try to, and I mentioned this earlier, but I wanted to just touch back on it again, is I've noticed they have some programs around the country, parenting from prison. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think is sorely needed. Now we are making some headways in terms of these sentences and things of that nature.
Prison reform, yes.
Prison reform. Mm-hmm. And so how excited or enthusiastic are you about that?
I'm very, 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 very excited about the prison reform and the changes that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because again, unfortunately, our system haven't really been a fair and a just system mm-hmm. as it relates to, you know, incarceration. You know, years ago, we used to have the saying "cruel and unusual punishment." Mm-hmm. This is how they treated people. They took away the human side of things. They took it away from people. Mm-hmm. And now again, some people are in prison are living better than people that are free. they getting 3 free meals every day. They get education. They get medical. They get free clothing. I mean, so some of the people incarcerated are living better. They got TVs in their rooms. They got emails. I mean, so some of the people that are incarcerated are living really, really good these days mm-hmm. compared to some of the people that are not incarcerated.
Okay. Give me that address where I can get one of them with TVs and all that.
right. Yes.
So that parenting from prison program again is something that, you know, I'm interested in, and do you think that there's an opportunity for that to come into fruition?
Absolutely. I mean, anything that we can do to help and assist people transition from prison again back into the community mm-hmm. is a good thing. And as I mentioned, here in Oregon, we do have a really good program called Home for Good, which pretty much does the same thing, that we have people, mentors, go into the prison before the people are released to talk with them, to get to know them, and so forth and so on, to help that transition. Also work with the families and everything else mm-hmm. to make people have a successful transition from prison back into the community. Because that's a stressful thing, brother. If you've been in prison for 20 years, 10 years, and so forth and so on, you've been institutionalized to a prison way of life. And it's very stressful and a lot of anxiety for a brother to come out of a prison setting and come back into a community that he's been detached from all these years. Yeah. And so to have someone to come and assist you with that transition is really, really, really a great benefit, you know, to help the people be able to make a smooth transition back into the community.
Especially when the community has changed so much.
Absolutely.
In terms of the gentrification and things that, you know, are no longer there before they got arrested.
That's right.
Before they began to serve time.
That's right.
So that's proven to be challenging, to say the least.
Yes.
Okay. Anything that you'd like to add, brother, that I haven't talked about?
Well, again, I would just like to add, particularly to the Islamic community that's listening, mm-hmm. that there's a great, great, great need and opportunity again for continual volunteerism and even employment in our correctional system. And this is on all levels, county, state, and federal, that again, we do not have nowhere near enough representation for Muslims coming in to see after Muslims. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage any of you who have some time on your hand and you are a believer, again, to seek out an opportunity to receive some blessings for yourself, to get involved, you know, in the prison life. Because as I mentioned, this is where the growth is taking place of Islam in this country, inside of the institutions. Mm-hmm. But it's the most underlooked and underserved on the Islamic side of things that we have. And this is where the growth is taking place at. We need Muslim volunteers. We need Muslim employees. We need Muslim contractors. Whatever that you can lend to this endeavor, I think that this is a great opportunity, again, to try to seek it out. Anyone who have an interest on any level, please give me a call. Again, 503-890-1510. 503-890-1510. Anyone who have an interest in getting involved into the prison life, please contact me that we can get you going. And again, my role also, again, as regional chaplain for Multnomah Clackamas in Washington County through the Department of Corrections, you don't have to be a Muslim. We can get you involved in your own faith tradition also. Mm-hmm. I oversee all faith traditions mm-hmm. in that area. If you're a Christian and you want to get involved in assisting, again, people coming out of prison, get a hold of me, and I can help to facilitate that process for you to get involved in helping your faith tradition also have a smooth transition back into the community, because there is a great need for it. There's a great need for it across the board.
One of the things, before I conclude, one of the things that I was impressed with back east, going back east for a while and seeing how their services are rendered, is they sometimes offer transportation for families, because a lot of families don't have the wherewithal to make those
trips,
those visits and so forth. So they would sometimes provide buses or pay a stipend to various bus companies, or contract with various bus companies. Do you think anything like that could work?
Listen, without a doubt, my dear brothers, that this is again a great business opportunity, and there have been some people that have spoken about it, even myself, because I used to be in the transportation business, but I've gotten away from it, because now I'm doing most of my work inside of the prisons. Mm-hmm. But this used to be also part of my role in the transportation business. It's a great, great, great service that someone who lived in Portland or Vancouver that has a family member mm-hmm. that's stationed out in Snake River, you know, which is on the Idaho border, or out in Deer Ridge, you know what I'm saying, which is on the Nevada border, to be able to get to those locations to visit your families without it being a problem is a great service mm-hmm. that can be provided. And anyone who have the wherewithal who want to start up a business transporting family members to go see their loved ones, it's a great opportunity for someone who can take on the challenge of doing that and let it be known that service exists. Mm-hmm. And you make weekly runs out there. It's a great service, I think, to provide.
Well, brother, thank you so much, brother Derek. He's the head. We've been talking with Derek Rashid, a name I hear very often anytime I'm down in down at MCDC or in Inverness. They always say, yeah, I took my shahada with brother Rashid.
You know,
so we're certainly glad about that, and we wish you good success, and wish you all the best, you and brother Imam Mikhail Shabazz, and maybe look forward to, you know, the microphone is always yours if y'all got some new things coming up or some things that you'd like to let the community know about.
Well, alhamdulillah, dear brother Shahid. Again, thank you so much for the work that you do as well, because you've been a pioneer of this great work for many, many, many years, brother. And I'm pretty much following into your footsteps. You make it seem like you're following into mine. I'm following in your footsteps, my dear brother. Thank you for the blessed work that you've been doing and so many others in the community that's been picking up the banner and umbrella, man, and doing the work that you do. May Allah continue to bless and guide you in your work as well, my dear brother.
Thank you, sir. And we look forward to sharing each other real soon.
Inshallah.
Stay tuned for Pathways coming up here on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members people and organizations make better decisions with modern online and app versions. That's spelled divination.com. This KBOO program is made